The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today, talking to you about personal injury topics. We do it every single Saturday morning now and on Sunday mornings. We kind of spend most of the weekend in one form or another talking to you about personal injury topics or about your legal topics to make sure you understand and you know what's going on in life, to get you an idea of how you can address your the problems that come from a personal injury case. We are personal injury lawyers. We're the firm of Bell and Pollock. If you need to reach us, you can reach us at 303-795-5900 or at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We will put together for you a legal game plan to allow you to know what to do on how to address your case if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another. Now, when we talk about the result of negligence of another, we talk about any part of that injury. All right, so let's talk about if you've been injured because of the injury itself or if you've been injured because the insurance company didn't properly handle your case because they weren't dealing with it. You know, Bob, we deal with a number of bad faith cases.
Seems like it's happening more and more, Brad, where insurance companies just don't want to pay and you're left out there hanging, you know, with no income because maybe you can't work and maybe on the verge of losing your job because you've had so many absences from work.
You know, and it's amazing because when we start talking about dealing with personal injury cases and how to protect you and what you have to do to protect your rights and dealing with people, there are two ways that you really deal with the cases. You deal with collecting from the company or from the person's insurance company who was negligent, who hit you, who caused the damages. That's the first place you need to look. And then you talk about collecting from your own insurance company. So there's two places you try to collect primarily. There's other places that we can work with. If you come see us, we'll talk to you about. But those are two primary places. And when you're trying to get the money from the other side's insurance company, they don't owe you very many duties. And they're going to question everything that goes on. They're going to come at you. And you're going to have to deal with them and try and get a decent recovery for them. And there's a lot of factors that can play into trying to collect that money and what you have to do. You can bet one thing, no matter how much they talk to you or they sound like they care. And when they interview you, which you should never give them an interview without talking to your lawyer first, you find that they're trying to find ways to pay you the least amount possible. Now, we see all these TV ads about big verdicts and huge amounts of money and getting huge amounts of money. And we've talked before, over 25% of the people driving right now have $25,000 or less in insurance coverage. Those were the latest numbers that they talked about, have $25,000 or less in insurance coverage. Then you talk about how many people have $50,000, how many have $100,000. How many have 250? How many have 300? When you start getting into these huge numbers of millions of dollars, there's a lot of factors that have to go into it. So when you're trying to figure out what the collection is or how much money your case is worth, you've got to be dealing with how much insurance coverage the person that hits you has.
But that only talks about the insurance that you get maybe for the, you know, your illness and for your losses, but it doesn't. You know, what if I'm in a terrible car accident? I get the $25,000. I exhaust my own uninsured motorist coverage, and then I'm stuck because I don't have a job. I really don't have any way, no income to pay my mortgage.
Right.
I have no income to put food on the table, and I have a wife and kids. What am I going to do, Brad?
When you start talking about injuries, that's part of it. Part of it is, what are you going to do with the injuries and with the problems that have occurred and how it affects your employment? But what we start with whether or not there's coverage. and what kind of coverage there is. Now, you know, another question you have, though, is so you're dealing with all these people out there where you've got to be dealing with limited coverage, and then you have your own coverage. And understand that money isn't paid by either your car insurance company or the other side's car insurance company until the end of the case. That's when it gets paid. They don't give you interim payments. They're not going to give you money as you go. They're not going to. When you're dealing with UIM cases, sometimes you can get what's called the undisputed amount. And when you say UIM, underinsured motorist cases or uninsured motorist cases, you can get some undisputed amount of money. But it's still basically at the end of the case. And, you know, unfortunately, what the insurance industry, car insurance industry, is one of the few industries where not only have we had a body of law of, and it's kind of interesting here, a body of law of case law that's evolved over bad faith, over your own insurance company not treating you correctly, but we've had to go out, or the legislature's had to go out and pass statutes over telling insurance companies how they have to enforce or how they have to honor their own contracts. I mean, there's not too many other industries where you have a whole set of statutes and different scenarios where they're telling people you've got to honor your contract in good faith. You just assume it. But unfortunately, when dealing with the car insurance industry, we have found it necessary that we have to go out and we have to pass statutes just to get them to act in good faith.
You know, in the last couple of years, they passed a statute. We always call it the doubling, you know, where they...
Two times
statute, where you could be entitled to, if they find bad faith, two times the value of the claim. And, you know, the insurance companies just can't fathom that. They, you know, that they don't believe they ever have bad faith or act in bad faith.
And the thing is that 20 to 30, the statute identifies what? About 20 to 30 different ways that they can act in bad faith, and that they say, this is bad faith, and if you do this, you're subject to potential two times the covered benefit. Now, so what they're saying is that here's 20 or 30 different ways that we have found that you insurance companies, car insurance companies, regularly, violate your contract or regularly fail to honor the relationship you've got with your own insured, and we now are making it a statute and saying you have to pay two times the covered benefit if you don't do these things or if you do any of these things. How many other professions or businesses do you know where that kind of law and set of laws has to be passed?
You know, it's far and few between. In the meantime, you know, they string it out. How many times have you noticed that your adjuster keeps changing? It's almost like they don't want one person to know too much about the case, just in case someone brings a bad faith claim. I always seem like the adjuster keeps flip-flopping. You know, you have one adjuster 1 month, you have another one. About 3 months later, you have another one. Are they trying to make it so that one adjuster doesn't have all the information?
Now, one of the things they're doing, why they're doing this, is they understand that there are certain things that go on in a crash. Okay, first of all, a person gets hurt. Sometimes they don't know they're hurt the night that it occurred. Sometimes they know they have pain, but they don't know they have injury. You know, you talk about this situation of there's a difference between pain and injury, and you've got to understand that. Pain can be debilitating. But you've got pain, and then you have injury, and then you have long-term injury. Then you have injuries that affect your ability to do your work. You have injuries that affect your ability to do the things around your house. You have injuries that affect your ability to carry out your activities of daily living. And today, we're talking to you, and we're going to spend the next 45 minutes or so talking to you about how you solve this problem and this situation with respect to disability as a result of a crash. And what you're going to hear at the end, and we're going to give you a number of different sources that are out there, but what you're going to hear at the end is there's not a whole lot of really good solutions. You know, there just isn't. And once again, some of it, it centers around your own protection and getting your own protection, but there's not a lot of good solutions. And the insurance companies know it. And so when they do this unjust or unnecessary deny and delay, they know they've got you in a bad situation when it comes to your employment.
You know, and most people can't afford to be off work for multiple weeks at a time. Most people can't afford to be missing, you know, 2 or 3 days of work or more per week. And, you know, your employer is not going to put up with it much longer, but there are some protections. One protection, you know, the federal government has provided some protection, but it's very weak at the best. It's not going to carry you more than maybe a month or two. It's not going to provide you income, maybe just protect your job while you recoup and try to get better.
That may be it. And that may not even work. It's going to depend on the size of the company. It's going to depend on what the different benefits are and what's available for you to be able to make that decision. You've got to be able to understand that there's not that many good solutions. And we see many times people talking about the fact that there's not a lot of savings. There's not a lot of money there to help you. And you've got to have your daily or your regular weekly income, and that can be a very difficult situation for you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. If you have a question, if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, contact us, 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is your legal minute. You know, I tell you what, when you sit down to make a recipe, do you follow the recipe? Do you use the right ingredients, the right amounts of ingredients, the cooking instructions? Same thing for a legal game plan. You've been injured, you need a legal game plan. You need to understand what the steps are. You need to understand what the ingredients to success are. You need to know the steps, the sequence of the steps, what to do and how the insurance company is going to try to beat you with their own insurance game plan against you. You need your own legal game plan. You can't guess. You wouldn't guess at a recipe. You have legal game plans and you have game plans in sports. Sometimes the game plans have to be adjusted at halftime. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We have a legal game plan for you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. We are talking to you about what happens to your employment, what happens to your income when you've been in a car crash and you've been hurt, and where can you turn for help? And we do this show every single week to try and help you. We are personal injury lawyers. We will take your personal injury case. We'll do your personal injury case for you. We'll give you a legal game plan. We'll sit down with you. Everybody always talks about free initial consultations. The consultations are free. You're going to sit down and talk to everybody about it, about what's going on in your case, and you're going to have a great opportunity to put together a legal game plan. If you decide to hire us, so hire us. If you don't, you're not going to pay for the consultation. If you do hire us, it's going to be a percentage basis, like all the personal injury lawyers do. So it's just going to be a regular situation of taking care of your case. All the stuff you hear from lawyers talking that something special with free consultations. No, you go into a personal injury lawyer's office and you talk to him. You're not going to pay money, or you shouldn't be paying money, and you shouldn't be high pressured in designing a contract. You should be able to talk to the lawyer, get information, understand what your rights are, understand what's happening, and talk to a lawyer. If an investigator comes rushing out to your office, to your house or to your office and gets a hold of you and starts trying to sign you up right away, the investigator's job at that point when they're coming out there is to sign you up. They're going to get there. They shouldn't be giving you legal advice. That's wrong. It's inappropriate. If a law firm is allowing an investigator to do that, they shouldn't be allowing that. And when the investigator gets there, they can take your statements, they can take your information, and they can sign you up. So what you want to do is you want to talk to a lawyer, and you want to make sure your case is being properly handled with a good game plan. And that's why we give you a legal game plan. You can call us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. Now, we talked earlier about the fact that part of what happens in a crash is that you have problems with your employment. And when you hire a lawyer, you're usually hiring the lawyer, and what the lawyer is doing is you're hiring the lawyer to really represent your claim for personal injuries resulting from the car crash. But other questions will come up, Bob, and questions come up about disability rights and employment issues. And you have to decide and you have to talk about what you need to do. And the first step is you've got to research the client's options.
And that would maybe being in contact with their HR department to find out what kind of benefits are available to the client. A lot of times, clients, they depend on the size of the corporation or who they work for, or maybe their own foresight, they'll either have a short-term or long-term disability policy. And those may or may not overlap. It may or may not overlap with vacation. You may have to spend down your vacation before you get into these plans. But the short-term disability plan, it just covers you for just a short period of time. It could be 3 months, 6 months, and then hopefully you have some other plan after that.
So the first thing that the lawyer should be doing when they're talking to them about their employment, if the employment issue comes up, is you've got to get that packet that you got from your employer during employee orientation. Now, maybe you didn't get one. Maybe that didn't happen. And, most of the time and most of what we talk today is going to be talking about the larger corporations, small, independent, what we call ma-pa corporations or companies probably don't have a lot of this. Some may have some orientation, but the bottom line is if there's a packet that was handed out, you got to get that packet. And you've got to look to see if there's any information or any policies that handle short-term or long-term disability, because that's going to be important to look at that insurance to see what is necessary to qualify for that insurance. Secondly, you're going to want to go to and you're going to talk about the employer's human resource department. You're going to go talk to them. And either the lawyer's going to do that or the employee's going to do that to talk at the what you call the human resource department. Now, that could be your office manager. That could be anybody who is in the office who makes decisions. It could be the owner.
But, small companies, less than 50 people, the probability, likelihood of having such a plan is pretty small.
That's right. Less than 50 people, the probability is going to be very small. But you want to go talk to these people because what you want to find out is certain policies. And Bob said a lot when he said, are you going to have to spend down your sick leave? Are you going to have to spend down your vacation time? Are you going to have to, do you have just PTO, paid time off, and do you have to spend that down? Do you have any type of FMLA? And that's something we talk about, the Family Medical Leave Act. Now, the Family Medical Leave Act is something that's really reserved for what I would call larger corporations. It's not going to be there on the smaller corporations. And when you're dealing with the FMLA and a Family Medical Leave Act, you've got to be able to see if your company qualifies. Hopefully your lawyer has some knowledge about that or can look it up and let you know, and whether you can qualify within it. Now, FMLA, Bob, quite often my clients, when they come in, they confuse the issue. They talk about FMLA and the Family Medical Leave Act and whether or not and what kind of money they're going to get.
Brad, most of our clients don't understand that FMLA only protects their job up to 12 weeks. It doesn't provide any kind of income. There's no income protection. It's a plan or some kind of protection. So if you have to leave the job to recover from an injury, when you come back, there's a job for you. But it's not going to provide you any income support.
So it's not income replacement. FMLA is not that, and then you've got to qualify for it, and there are certain qualifications that we may talk about later on, depending on time, and we're talking about whether or not on the FMLA, how long it can take. It's usually 12 weeks of continuous or intermittent time off from the job. But you have to qualify. You have to have been there long enough. The company has to be large enough.
You have to be on your job at least 1 year. Most people don't realize that. I've had two or three clients come in. Maybe they started a job and they were in the 11th month. They didn't qualify for FMLA because they had to be there for a full 12 months in order to qualify for the program.
And so you get the advantage sometimes working for a large company where FMLA is available, but then you get the problem where you don't quite make it. You don't reach the threshold, and the company really can't bend those rules. The company's not going to bend those rules. They're not going to make exceptions. You're going to be without the FMLA protection to have your job there when and if you get better or when and if you can carry out the job. But that doesn't give you income. So at the same time that you're talking to your company about FMLA, you have to talk to them about short-term and long-term disability. And you have to talk to them about whether there's a policy or whether there's some kind of benefit and what you have to do to qualify for those benefits.
And that's where, you know, the kind of a sticking point is that you have to get a doctor to say you qualify for a lot of these programs.
Right. So because it's in FMLA, who determines whether or not you're going to get FMLA, you're going to get time off under those provisions, is your employer. Who determines, even in a small company without FMLA, who determines whether or not you're going to be able to take time off and still have a job is your employer. And under FMLA, it's law. And the law will tell you. In a smaller company where there is no FMLA, where you're just dealing with an employer, there's no law, and it's totally at the discretion of the employer. And the employer will make their decision. And in this day and age, employers make decisions based on, and I say this day and age, probably forever, they make decisions based on financial considerations. And a lot of times that financial consideration is, can I leave that space open? Do I go with the temp? A temp costs you more money than a normal person normally, than a normal employee. You go to a temp agency, you get a temp person to come in and hold that position. While they're holding that position, you've got to pay that person a fair wage. The temp agency wants its share or its cut of money. And so an employer trying to make that decision, like we said, under FMLA, it's a no-brainer. If you qualify, they've got to leave the position open. But if you don't qualify, or if you're in a small company that doesn't deal with FMLA, now you've got a different situation.
That's when you hope that your company has some kind of short-term disability plan or a long-term disability plan. But even if they have these plans, now you have to deal with a doctor who's going to have to say that you can't work. And then you also have something called elimination periods, which make it even harder on you. You know, if you have a long-term disability plan, you may have to wait 90 days or 180 days before the plan even kicks in. And during that time period, if you can't work, there's really no one's going to pay you for a salary or give you income replacement during that time period. You just have to wait it out.
So when we're talking FMLA, the client, the injured person, has to explain the basis for requesting the leave. And in most cases, it'll be a serious health condition or an illness or injury, impairment or physical or mental condition that involves inpatient care or it involves continuing treatment by a healthcare provider. Now, you know, the employer may require certifications under the FMLA Act and to state the reason for the leave and can require recertification every 30 days. Okay, unless the certification already provides and states that the employee will be disabled for more than 30 days. So you've got to be able to get into that condition. You're listening. We're going to talk more about FMLA and STD and long-term plans after the break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio. You can reach us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir crazy. And my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing. And they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then I usually get Mo's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas, served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheeseburgers. Or their salads.
Honey, rein it in. Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. We're talking to you about what happens when you've been in a crash and now you can't work, or you're going to need some time off work. What can be done? And a lot of the lawyers that you hire, a lot of personal injury lawyers, they do one thing and that's it, and they're not going to talk to you about what happens with your property damage to your car. They don't want to talk about it. They're not going to talk to you about your employment rights. They're not going to talk to you about what you might have to do to anticipate time off work. They're not going to talk to you about what you might have to do for income. And even if your personal injury lawyer can't solve it, your personal injury lawyer should know about this stuff. They should have knowledge about these areas. They should be able to advise you. And throughout the entire time period that Gary and I have been doing these shows, and we've been doing it at Bell and Pollock, we've been talking to you about the fact that your lawyer needs to have some information and some knowledge about a number of other areas. If they only do the one thing and that's it, and they don't pay attention to the rest of the world of what's going on, well, they've missed what's happening in your life. And I don't want to get too far afield, but we've talked to you about the fact that, you know, family members are affected and other people are affected and family relationships are affected. And there's a lot that goes on in a personal injury case. Today, we're talking to you about your employment. And we've talked to you about, first of all, FMLA and whether or not you qualify under FMLA and what is the employer prohibited from doing. An employer cannot interfere with the employee's exercise or attempts to exercise rights under the FMLA, period. They can't do it. An employer cannot discriminate against an employee who has sought information about their rights under FMLA or who's taken leave protected by FMLA. Now the employer can require fitness for duty certifications before allowing an employee to return to work. And the employer can take actions if you cannot get back to work within 12 weeks of consecutive or intermittent leave. Now you can ask for extensions, but then the employer has more power. As we've talked about, FMLA doesn't pay you money.
You're right. It's not a income replacement program. It's a program just to protect your job. So when you do recover from your illness, if you do recover, that you have a job to go back to.
So if you've been hurt, if you've been injured, and you can't go to work, or you're going to miss time from work, it's important to get in and talk to that employer and tell them what's happened. Talk to them about how you can work this. If you have FMLA rights, you go in and you talk to them about it. You go to the HR department. You go to the human resources department. You discuss it. If they don't have FMLA, if it's not a big enough company, it's important to get to your employer and talk to them about what's happening. Get that orientation package. Get whatever rights there. Talk to the office manager. Talk to the owner. Tell them what's happening and try to get it worked out, because these are important down the road incidents. Even if you're still limping into work, even if you're barely able, if you're having to walk around because you can't sit at your desk, if you're sitting there in pain, if you can't stay on the phones as long as you might have to, when you can't do all these things. It's important that you're talking to your employer, but that's going to lead to questions about time off. And that's going to lead to questions about lost income, because FMLA does not give you income. And that's where you start talking about short-term and long-term disability. Now, as you're all sitting there right now, as everybody's listening to this, think, do you have short-term disability income in any shape, form, any form or shape, any way? Do you have long-term disability income? Well, short-term disability income is maybe going to cover the first 3 to 6 months, Bob.
Three to six months.
Then after that, you're going to have to kick into long-term disability.
Right. A lot of the programs have, you know, elimination periods, which I addressed a little while ago, which is a period where you have to wait. So you might have to wait 90 days. You might have to wait 180 days before you have your long-term disability kicks in. And so during that time period, if you've already, you might have your own PTO, but you might spend that down, and hopefully you have a short-term disability plan.
Now that short-term disability and long-term disability plans, they're going to have a right of subrogation. They're going to want part of recovery. They're going to want notes from doctors. They're going to want statements from doctors. And a lot of times, doctors don't write medical records that say this person can't work or that puts restrictions. A lot of times, doctors won't put restrictions because they'll say, do what you can do, see what you can do as you go through with your injury. And if you can do it, great. If you can't, then you can't do it. Don't do it. And when you come back to me, we'll talk about it. But they don't write those restrictions. So under short-term disability and long-term disability plans, you may have to be talking to the doctor about getting appropriate records that protect you and get you recovery.
And, you know, again, let's say you do have a long-term disability plan. It may only last 24 months. There may be a limit. And they're not going to pay you 100%. A lot of these plans only pay 60%. I guess it's better than nothing.
I mean, right. Get yourself some coverage if you can. A lot of people don't believe in short-term or long-term disability plans. A lot of people say they don't pay. There's a lot of complaints about them. If you have it through your employment, get a copy of the policy. Read it. You know, you should be getting that the minute you're hurt, the minute you realize you're not going to have time off work, or you're going to have time off work and you're not going to be able to be there, that you're going to be missing it. Even if you have FMLA, even if your boss says, okay, you're not going to have to come in, find out about that plan. Because the boss may say, you don't have to come in, we'll hold your job, but they're not going to pay you. So now you're talking about how do you get that? And do you want to find out what your short-term disability and your long-term disability plans say?
And once you find out, let's say, that you may be qualified for a plan, then you have to jump through the hoops of the insurance company, the restrictions, the proof that you're disabled. And sometimes you may find out you have a disability, and maybe your disability, your injury does not is not covered by the plan.
And you're going to need these. That's exactly right. It may not be covered by the plan. You're going to need this information when you go to see the doctor. When you go to see your own doctor and the doctor who's treating you for your injuries, you're going to need them so you can talk to the doctor. It's not a bad idea if you got them and you need the benefits to take the plan itself to the doctor and say, doctor, here's what I have to do to be able to qualify for my short-term disability or my long-term disability. Do I meet this criteria and can you address it? Will you do a letter? Will you put something in the records? Will you do what's necessary to qualify me? And this is something that in your legal game plan, you have to talk about. Because injuries cause people to lose time off work. They cause people not only to lose immediate income, but they cause people to lose income in the future. And that's what we've talked about, income in the future. And sometimes that income is going to be lost opportunity, lost ability to make money in the future. Other times, it's lost money itself right then and there. And that's when you have to be talking about whether or not you have short-term or long-term disability.
And, you know, the insurance companies are, during the time you're in the coverage, these companies are going to require ongoing proof that you're still injured. You may have to file monthly. They're going to review your medical records at any time they can review your medical records. You know, if you had to have surgery, they want to know immediately after surgery. They're going to give a certain amount of period of time, but they believe that you should have recovered by that time period. But you really have to have cooperation of your doctor. You have to have a good relationship with your doctor, Brad, in order to make sure that you get all the benefits that you're entitled to, either short-term or long-term disability?
Sure. It's called talking to your doctor, and hopefully your lawyer's advised you of that or has talked to you about it and discuss what you need to do. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio. You can reach us at 303-795-5900 at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. And we'll give you a legal game plan. Come see us. If you've been hurt as a result of a car crash, as a result of the negligence of another, come see us. Now let's talk about ERISA. A lot of times your company is going to have ERISA, and a lot of people are saying, what's an ERISA? And that's an Employee Retirement Income Security Act, and that's got its own plan. And Bob, a lot of times you can get extra money, or you can get coverage, or you can get your medical bills paid through that. So at that point, you want to start deciding whether or not you're going to take advantage of ERISA. ERISA also is going to have certain rights of recovery and subrogation rights.
Well, you know, almost all these plans have a right of recovery. You know, whether it's a short-term disability plan that you own or that you get through your corporation, or long-term disability plan or a federal plan, they all have a right of subrogation. They all want to be paid back some portion of the amount of money that you may receive from a third party that have caused the injury accident that puts you in a position where you have to apply for a short-term disability or long-term disability.
And they all have their own special set of rules. And if your lawyer doesn't, if your personal injury lawyer doesn't deal with these, a lot of personal injury lawyers don't deal with this. If they don't deal with it, then you've got to find lawyers. Hopefully they can give you referrals or you can find lawyers. But then you've got to figure out how those lawyers are going to get paid. And you've got to figure out how you're going to be able to follow the plan. In an ERISA plan, it's very important that you know what the plan is. You can get what's called a summary plan description, or you can get the plan itself, but you've got to know what the plan is. You've got to follow the plan. You've got to make sure you meet all the deadlines within the plan. You've got to make sure you know what's happening. That's why it's important to have a lawyer, your personal injury lawyer, that's going to help you through this process. And that's what we'll do at Bell and Pollock. If you come see us, if you've been hurt as a result of a crash, if you have a loved one who has, if it happened last night, or if it happened 6 months ago or a year ago, contact us. Contact us at 303-795-5900 at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you with respect to your case. We'll sit you down. We'll talk to you about what you've got. You'll find out about what your rights are, about what's happened to you. Then we'll talk to you about what your rights are and how to coordinate the way for you to be able to live through this. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Contact us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is your Legal Minute. I tell you what, you're injured in a car crash. You go to the emergency room. You go to your medical doctors. They give you medical treatment. They give you conservative modalities of treatment. But you're still hurting. Maybe your neck hurts. Maybe it's your low back. Maybe the emergency room doctor said your MRI was perfectly normal, but you still hurt. Can you still recover? Of course you can recover. You need to prove your injuries, damages, and losses. You need to file a legitimate, truthful, complete claim with the insurance company for the at-fault party, and you need to understand what the laws are in Colorado. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We can help you. We can explain your rights to you. We can explain them so you'll understand them and know what to do and what not to do. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com, will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com. It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is your Legal Minute. You know, we're injury attorneys. We're here to help you, to teach you, to educate you. You're injured in a car crash. You're going to talk to the insurance adjuster for the very first time. Maybe the second time. They're going to say, well, we're going to send you out a few forms. You fill them out and send them back to us. Should you do that? No. Part of those forms are releases. You're releasing your medical records to the insurance company, and probably they're going to be able to republish them to any place they want to. Do you want that? Do you want your medical records going to an insurance database, a central insurance database, where hundreds of insurance companies can access your records because you signed their few forms? I don't think so. You're not going to sign their questionnaire. You're not going to sign their few forms. You're going to call Bell and Pollock. ChampionsOfThePeople.com. We're there to help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at ChampionsOfThePeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today, talking to you about what happens when you have employment problems as a result of your crash, as a result of your injury. A number of personal injury lawyers are not going to get involved in the employment side, in the short-term, long-term disability, the FMLA Act, in the ERISA Act. They're going to tell you, go get your plans and do what's necessary. Sometimes they're going to refer you to other lawyers. Sometimes they're going to talk to you about not doing it at all, or they're not going to know what to do. You've got to be able to sit down and have a legal game plan on what happens. And that's why when you come to Bell and Pollock, we talk to you about a legal game plan. We're going to talk to you about the different rights and remedies that are available, how you recover, where you recover, where you can find this money of millions of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars or maybe even less. You don't know what it is because you don't know what the insurance coverages are. But you know you're hurt. You know you need medical care. We are going to talk to you about how you're going to pay for that medical care and how that medical care can be best given to you. We're going to talk to you about what happens with your job, and we're going to talk to you about what you need to get. And we're talking about what immediately you have to find out. We were talking about ERISA just before the break. ERISA is very important. And if you have questions, you need to contact us at bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com, or 303-795-5900. And Bob, when you're doing it, you've got to understand ERISA has certain deadlines that have to be met.
Yeah, the first thing you need to do, Brad, make sure you meet all deadlines, is you get a copy of any documents related to that plan from your employer, from the insurance company. And if you are turned down and you know they say you don't qualify, there's a set of appeal processes that you have to meet and you have to follow to the letter. You don't follow if you miss a deadline or miss a certain document, it could prevent you from even having an opportunity to appeal a decision that's gone against you.
And when you're talking ERISA plans or short-term or long-term disability plans, you're very, very much restricted in what kind of discovery you can get, in whether or not you can do depositions, what kind of experts are involved, whether or not there's a trial. A lot of these appeals are nothing more than another group or another layer of the same company or the same ERISA plan, same plan of them taking a look at it and deciding what's going on. The bad faith laws most of the time aren't going to apply. It's going to be, you're going to be dealing with a disability insurance company, and you're going to be having to figure out ways to be able to make them pay. And believe me, they don't want to pay.
The standard is very broad. I mean, not very broad, very, very restrictive. They have to show that it was arbitrary and capricious, which is a very difficult standard to prove, that someone actually acted in bad faith under that standard. But Brad, let's say I have a short-term disability. I don't have a short-term disability plan. I don't have a long-term disability plan. I applied for Family Leave Act. Is there any federal support for me? Can I get some money from the federal government?
Right. That's the next place you're going to look. Or that's one of the places. It may not be the next. That's one of the places. And, of course, we have Social Security. And we talk about in that situation, you're going to have two sets of letters that you're going to be dealing with. You're going to be dealing with SSDI, or you're going to be dealing with SSI. And one is Social Security Disability Insurance, and the other one is Supplemental Security Income. And Bob, when we talk about Social Security Disability Insurance, there are certain requirements that have to be met there.
It's for people that have enough work credits to receive the benefit. They've paid into the system, and you have sufficient wages and sufficient amount of time. We always talk about 40 quarters, 10 years of work to get your Social Security. You have actually paid in. It's something you the government owes you because you've paid in over your working career. SSI, on the hand, is not based on credits. It's it's a program for people who are either disabled or very poor and may have not ever worked and may not have enough credits for the program.
So when we're talking SSDI, Social Security Disability Income, you're going to set up an account. And for all of you who want to know what you've got on your account, if you want to view your account and you look at your statement online, you can go to ssa.gov/myaccount and you can set up an account and you can see what's there. You can find out what is available for SSDI. Now, this is a very, very specialized area. And normally, your personal injury lawyer is going to send you to lawyers who specialize in these areas. And you're going to be looking at an SSDI account, and you're going to see whether or not your person qualifies. On the other hand, if and once they qualify, then you're going to talk about what kind of benefits they've got. But they're going to have to make sure they also, not just that they have Social Security available, but then they have to show that they're entitled to the disability insurance. And once again, that's going to take medical records, medical doctors. It's going to take people who can address it. Then on SSI, that's, as Bob said, that's a different situation. That's a different system. Okay. And that's based on being disabled and very poor. Normally for a single person, less than $2,000 in assets, you know, and then they may be available for SSI. You know, to qualify under that, basically you have to have a physical or mental condition that renders you unable to participate in any substantial gainful employment. And, In 2018, that meant that you are unable to earn at least $1,180 per month, which is working, what, Bob, 30 hours a week
at minimum wage, which isn't a whole lot of money.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to apply for Social Security disability, it's very hard to get. Back in 2017, only about 35% of the people of the SSDI applicants got the benefit. And you always hear, you know, people say, well, I'm going to sign up for SSDI, get Social Security disability. It's a very long process. And usually, you know, I mean, 65% of the people who sign up the first time do not get it.
And so what's going to happen is, you know, Bob said some golden words there when he said the first time. You're going to have to appeal. You're going to have to go through the appellate process. You're going to have a hearing in the appellate process. You're going to be able to state why you believe you are entitled to the Social Security income that you've requested. That's something you're going to normally go through with a lawyer who practices in the SSDI or Social Security area. I know we refer that to a lot of lawyers. We've got different lawyers that do that. And that becomes another specialized area. Now, normally, in those cases, the lawyers get paid by Social Security if they're successful. Or they get paid to when they get paid. So you're not losing that from your personal injury income. It gets paid by Social Security.
It seems also, Brad, that the younger you are and the more educated you are, the more difficult it is to get Social Security disability or Social Security income.
Sure, because they're looking to see if you can't do anything. Can you not do any kind of gainful employment? Can you be a laundromat attendant? Can you do a silverware wrapper or grocery courtesy clerk? What kind of work can you do? And you know, they're going to look to see what, in essence, you're available to do and what you're not available to do, and whether or not that work is something that, whether you can do any kind of work and have gainful employment of that about $1,200 per month, because that's a big area as far as whether or not they're going to start helping you.
And most people, they talk about getting these programs, say, you know, the permanent disability, as any other program, whether it's private or public, you know, you have continued review because, you know, like any other program, they want you off the program. It's not, although they may, people refer to it permanent, it's not.
And you've got to remember, if you collect under SSDI or SSI, then what you're facing is your long-term disability benefits you get through your employer or through a separate policy may not pay. Or they may take a set off. They may want the money back to the extent you've gotten Social Security. That long-term and short-term disability will do the same thing with respect to workers' comp benefits. They may not pay. They're going to want that money back.
All these programs seem to coordinate with each other. Like Brad was saying, that if you have a short-term disability plan, a long-term disability plan, and then you qualify for Social Security, these programs are going to coordinate together, and they're going to want offsets. You know, your private plan may want to offset a certain percentage of what you get from Social Security disability.
This is the kind of stuff your attorney wants to talk to you about, and you want your attorney to talk to you about. You want to be able to discuss it and find out what's available. Because at last, and we've only got a few minutes left in this show, but at last, we talk about the ADA. That's American with Disability Act. You know, and the ADA may protect your job if reasonable accommodations can be made to allow you to work. So you're not being discriminated against as a result of your health condition or some kind of problem you've got.
And that could be something like reducing your workload or, you know, allowing you to have a certain amount of breaks, maybe working at home. Your employer needs to accommodate you for a potential disability.
But that takes asking your employer for those accommodations and recognizing that there's going to be a give and take here. How much does it cost to do the accommodation to the employer in relationship to what the employer's business is? Is it a large or a small expense in relationship to what's going on? Are the changes large or small? Are they something that are there as a result of a discriminatory act, or are they not? And how does it work within the employer?
And then you run into the issue, does the employer qualify or do you, under these plans? You know, and the ADA requires to have more than 15 employees. And there's a geographic area, like 75 miles from where you live, to have them qualify.
Right. And then, of course, in addition to the ADA, you have the CARDA Anti-Discrimination Act, which can be a whole new set of laws. Well, you've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We've been talking to you today about what happens when you lose your employment as a result of a crash. It happens. You need lawyers who are versed on it, who can talk to you about it. When you start trying to weed through everything we talked about today, you're going to be confused. It's going to give you a lot of problems. You're going to have to be understanding that you're about to lose a major part of your income or your job, and you need lawyers who can work for you. If you've been hurt as a result of a crash, come see us. Get your legal game plan. Learn your rights. BellPollock.com, championsofthepeople.com, or call us 303-795-5900 24/7. Give us a call. We'll get a lawyer to talk to you, and we'll teach you your legal rights. We'll see you next week.